Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today? Tonight?
It's very late, so I am extremely exhausted thanks to somebody's board games.
Oh, whatever. You gotta eat melting pot. You gotta sit at home and pet cats and dog.
No.
Before we get started, I would like to mention that if you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. I know I mention it every week, but it really does help us out a lot. It really gets a lot more. It gets people's attention, lets people see us, gets new listeners to the show, and we really appreciate every single one of you that does it. On to this week's episode. It is Bart the Daredevil, episode 7F06, written by Jay Koganet and Wallace Wolodarski, directed by Wes Archer, originally aired December 6th, 1990. The chalkboard gag is, "I will not drive the principal's car," which I don't think we've ever seen Bart drive the Skinner's car.
Last I heard, Skinner didn't have a car. He was very jealous of Chalmers' Honda, but, you know.
Yeah, right now, Superintendent Chalmers is crying his eyes out.
Like a little baby girl.
The couch guy is Homer's weight tips the couch over. You know.
Shocking.
Yeah, no, crazy. This episode is the first appearance of Dr. Hibbert, which we'll discuss a little bit when we get to him. Originally aired, it was 20th in the Nielsen ratings. It was the highest rated that week on Fox. Apparently the Do the Bartman video premiered after this. The first airing of this, the first broadcast. Don't know if that... I saw some words on the news group that not everyone saw it, but apparently it was mostly widespread that Do the Bartman, the music video, was tied to the broadcast of this, which makes sense. It's a Bart episode. This is Wallace Wolodarski's, of all the shows he wrote, this is his favorite. And at the 10th anniversary of The Simpsons, Matt Groening named this his favorite episode.
Wow.
But that's the 10th anniversary. I doubt anything after eclipsed it, but who knows? It's possible. But at that point, this was his favorite. The episode starts with Bart, both Bart and his friends, and Lisa, watching a wrestling match on television. The Rasputin, the Friendly Russian, was it, versus Professor Von Braun with a W?
Werner von Braun?
Yeah, Werner von Braun with a W. And it cuts back and forth between them cheering about the wrestling and Homer and all the barflies, Homer, Barney, Moe, and the barflies cheering at the bar. And I think what Lisa commenting on the sophomore nature of wrestling and how could anyone with half a mind enjoy it. And then they cut to all the adults enjoying it the same exact way that the kids are enjoying it.
So, do you think they're trying to say that they never grew up and are still tiny young boys in their minds?
I think they're trying to say, Matt, sensing a subtle dig at those who enjoy professional wrestling, I think they're trying to say is that the adults are just enjoying the last bastion of commercial performance art.
Sure. Or maybe they enjoy the serial episodic storytelling that wrestling embodies.
Maybe. I actually appreciate this whole sequence because it jumps back and forth between the bar and the kids, and they're commenting on, you know, the adults are treating it just as real as the kids are treating it. And I think that once you buy into the quote-unquote reality of professional wrestling, that it appeals to that kind of primal nature inside of us of these larger-than-life figures, you know, having this kind of crazy battle. At least that's what I get a lot out of
it.
Not, I don't know.
Not to mention they seem to already know all of the wrestlers' signature moves and everything because they're talking to it like it's, you know, an actual sport.
It's not. It's not. Wrestling's real.
Wrestling is real. It is a very athletic performance, but it is generally scripted ahead of time.
Okay. Yes, wrestling is real, but scripted. If it's not, it's fake, like a movie's fake.
Exactly.
Exactly. But anyway, this is really just a vehicle to show the ad for the local monster truck rally featuring Truckosaurus.
Because where else would that ad be within professional wrestling?
It's true. And there is even on the news group, there was someone who said their local broadcast was interrupted by an actual ad for a monster truck rally. and featuring Rollosaurus.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. I love that. So good. But I really like this because Homer and Bart see it at the exact same time. Bart rushes out of the front yard. Homer rushes home, and they meet in the front yard to like celebrate their communal enjoyment love of Truckosaurus. It's something they both can agree on that it's amazing.
Well, of course. I mean, seriously, Robbie, it's a giant truck that eats cars and breathes fire. I mean, what else could you want out of life?
I would love to see a Truckosaurus. If there was a local Truckosaurus coming through, I would go see it, as long as it was in Miami. Homer brings it up at the dinner table that they want to go see Truckosaurus, and Lisa's like, but my recital, it's the same night. And she's like, and what is it, if you don't go see it, start shopping for a counselor on the next day, something along those lines.
That's true, because missing one thing would just destroy her.
I can see her point that the Truckosaurus kind of usurps the attention away from her long practicing, you know, musicianship. But they come to a compromise where her recital's at 5, Truckosaurus is at 8. They can do both. So they go see her perform. The school is performing Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, which is a little advanced for fourth graders or second graders, or I think it's a mix probably of the orchestra, but I think it's a little... I've played parts of Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. I was in high school, and even then, we played arrangements that were simpler, unless everyone at the school was super talented. Homer, of course, the first Skinner and then Homer call him Sherbert. Sherbert's Unfinished Symphony, and Homer mistakenly believes that because it's unfinished, it is not long.
Well, of course, if it's unfinished, that means he just stopped right in the middle, I thought. I mean, what else would that mean?
Yeah, just what else would that mean? But near the end, Homer is like, how long was this supposed to be? But we get them playing through little selections of it. I believe it's Todd Flanders playing in the orchestra? Or is it Rod?
I believe it's Todd.
I think it's Todd, too. Todd plays violin. Flanders is getting all emotional. You know, Homer comments that he's not that bad. You don't have to cry. I really like the moment of that. Homer's like bite at the bit trying to get out of there so they can go see Truckosaurus. He rushes out on stage just as they're finishing and grabs Lisa, but holds her out for the final bow. I really like that in his hands. It's really kind of cool look moment.
He's part of the concert.
He is. They show him driving to Truckosaurus and he's like honking and driving around traffic. Like, humming the music.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, honk, honk.
Yeah, that's really great. Lisa makes a comment about having reached him. I like that, those little touches. They add to a lot to the show. When it's mostly kind of a Bart episode, they add a little bit of, you know, Lisa's there in the background, at least. They are looking for parking, can't find it, mistakenly drive into the arena, which not sure that's happening, but it does, and they get eaten by Truckosaurus. There's an insurance adjuster already there?
I'm not sure if he's an insurance adjuster or just the PR guy. He's like, here, have a check. Get the hell out.
Yeah, then they do meet a really weird guy. He's really off model. He's not, doesn't look like any kind of...
The inventor, owner, and operator of Truckosaurus?
Yeah, Team Truckosaurus, Leo G. Clark. Gives them a half-drunk bottle of champagne, I believe.
A domestic champagne.
Domestic champagne. Oh, then it's actually sparkling wine.
Well, of course.
You can't call it champagne unless it's from Champagne.
Champagne.
Their car is in shambles but not destroyed. They retreat to the audience to watch the rest of the show. There's a Miss Monster, a lady monster truck driver, which both Marge and Lisa are excited to see.
Technically, I believe she's a mud pull driver, which is probably the similar thing, but I have
I am not versed in monster trucks and but she's driving some sort of vehicle called Miss Monster in a mud area. by this point, we are introduced to Captain Lance Murdoch, who is a direct homage, rip-off, parody, satire, whatever you want to call it, of Evel Knievel. A lot of the Simpsons, original Simpsons writers and, you know, producers were big fans of Evel Knievel. He was a daredevil in the 70s and 80s, most famously. His son also is a daredevil. I know of him because he shares my name. He's also named Robbie. Robbie Knievel. But Lance Murdoch is a direct homage to Evel Knievel. He is going to jump a pool in the middle of the arena. And we actually have...
Obviously, ahead. It makes him out to be a wuss, because if you're not jumping flaming school buses, what the hell are you even jumping for?
That, well, to be fair, Matt, it's not just a pool. There's things in the pool. We have actually pulled this clip for you. It's really nice and fun. We're going to play it for you right now.
For our last event of the evening, we have a special surprise guest, the world's greatest daredevil, the man who's no stranger to danger. If he's not in action, he's in traction, Captain Lance Murdoch.
Ladies and gentlemen, and especially little children, I'm glad you're all here to witness what may very well be my grisly death. Tonight, my most dangerous stunt. I will defy both nature and gravity by leaping over this tank of water, filled with many great white sharks, deadly electric eels, ravenous piranhas, bone-crushing alligators, and perhaps most frightening of all, the king of the jungle, one ferocious lion. Oh, I almost forgot. To add a real element of danger, one drop of human blood.
No chance I don't survive. Let me just say, seatbelts save lives, so buckle up.
This is so cool.
Oh, I can't watch.
He's okay, folks.
So Lance Murdoch talking to the crowd, the sharks, the eels, the piranha, the alligators, and the one lion. Love the lion. The lion's the best. And one drop of blood. To make it serious. Because without that drop of blood, what's going to happen?
There's no element of danger without that drop of blood.
No. But he jumps it, succeeds. And then drives back up the ramp, accidentally falls in. The lion. He's about to escape. The lion emerges from the water and pulls him back in. Good.
Not the shark. No Jaws homage. It's a lion.
The lion. The one lion grabs him, pulls him back in. Some paramedics rip him out of there, and they cart him away. He gives the crowd a thumbs up on the way out to let him know he's not dead. And Bart, on the way home, has a dream of being a daredevil, of jumping that same pool with his skateboard. Very next day, tries to jump a car, fails, goes to the hospital. This is where we are introduced to Dr. Hibbert for the very first time.
I would just like to point out that in true young men fashion, all of his friends bail rather than go to get help.
Yeah. Oh, he's hurt? Run!
We'll get in trouble for this somehow.
Yeah, but Bart gets stitches and maybe even a scar. Dr. Hibbert is introduced to us, and he is basically Bill Cosby. Like, originally he was going to be something entirely different, but then after the writers learned that they were going to be fighting Cosby in the ratings on Thursday nights, they went, oh, well, we'll just make him Bill Cosby. Dr. Huxtable. If Bill Cosby's any different than his character in the show, but you know, even the chuckle and the home style, you know, wisdom, stuff like that,
Even the sweaters.
And the sweaters. Even the sweaters. But he takes Bart into a ward where children have been hurt from imitating fiction.
Especially movies. Legitimate theater.
Legitimate theater. I do like that touch. But there's a kid who broke his leg trying to be Superman. Someone who got hit with a chair trying to imitate professional wrestling. Or was it the wrench? The wrench. And that he even mentions that he doesn't even want to show them the Three Stooges ward. Which, do kids nowadays know the Three Stooges?
I don't know about today, but I definitely think in the 80s and 90s it was more of a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw a little bit of Three Stooges, but do they even, I don't know. It's,
that they is do a, beat the crap out of each other frequently.
Yeah, they do. And Bart says that he learned his lesson. To Dr. Hibbert.
A little too easily.
Yeah, right away. And I think even Hibbert has like a little bit, he's a little suspicious. And the next day, Bart tries to jump a car again. This time he succeeds. And kind of emboldened by his success, he has a string of stunts that he does. He jumps a swimming pool. He jumps a group of pets laid out on the sidewalk.
Which only a psycho child would do.
I know, that's awful. What if he lands on the... I guess they wouldn't kill them, but it'd still be terrible. Homer jumps Homer in a hammock, which Homer thinks the kids are just applauding him for no reason.
I'm sure that happens to Homer all the time. I mean, you don't get applauded by random neighborhood kids all the time, Robbie?
No.
Huh.
Especially not
in a crappy neighborhood, then.
There's not many children. I mean, I guess there are children, but I don't really talk to them because they're children.
It's true. Children are not worth talking to.
they go on, but Bart goes on a field trip to the Springfield Gorge, and he's kind of feeling like running out of ideas. You know, he needs to do something bigger and better. And he sees the Springfield Gorge and decides he's going to jump it on his skateboard. Otto, I guess we leave it to Otto to be the voice of reason, and he does not succeed.
Well, he does have an almost fourth grade education.
Yeah, as the only adult here, I feel like I should say something. Cool! Yeah. But he announces this to the bus, and Lisa immediately is like, come on, you can't do that, Bart. This could actually kill you. This is very dangerous. And Lisa sets up, talks to Dr. Hibbert and sets him up so they can talk to Lance Murdoch directly. And Murdoch is in a full body cast, he breaks the last bone he's not broken, his thumb, when the kids get there. He signs an autograph to Bart with his mouth, which is a really funny bit. Just hands them a photo that's covered in squiggles. And at this point, Lisa is expecting Murdoch to talk him out of it, because obviously a child should not be a daredevil, right, Matt?
Well, I would expect him to talk him out of it, mainly to discourage future competition.
But instead, he chooses to encourage it. And we actually have pulled this clip, because it's really funny. So, here it is.
Thank you for arranging this, Dr. Hibbert.
Oh, anything I can do to stem the tide of entertainment-related injury. Now, children, you're about to meet the world's greatest daredevil, Lance Murdoch. Lance, this is Lisa and Bart Simpson. Bart is one of your biggest fans.
It's an honor, Lance. How are you feeling?
Ow! Doc, I heard a snap.
I'm afraid the bone's broken. Well, that's all of them.
Don't worry, partner. I've broken that thumb dozens of times. Hey, I'll bet you'd like an autograph. Durst?
Who should I make this out to?
Just Bart will be fine, sir.
To Bart. Thanks for visiting me. At Springfield General Hospital. Your visit was a ray of sunshine on an otherwise cloudy day. Your pal, Captain Lance Murdoch.
Wow, man. Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome. Don't I take this thing out of my mouth now.
Mr. Murdoch, my brother is thinking about jumping Springfield Gorge on a skateboard.
Could you leave me with the youngins, please? Now, let me start by saying, Good for you, son. It's always good to see young people taking an interest in danger. Now, a lot of people are going to be telling you you're crazy, and maybe they're right. But the fact of the matter is, bones heal, chicks dig scars, and the United States of America has the best doctor-to-daredevil ratio in the world.
But Captain Murdoch!
Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome, little partner. On your way out, tell the nurse I'm ready for my sponge bath. Another fringe benefit. Nurse!
It really plays against what we're expecting, because I think that's how the humor it works so well in this situation. We're expecting this established adult, and he's actually, even in the original scene, the first scene we saw him in, he encourages people to wear their seatbelts on the way home. Like, he seems like he does the danger, everyone else plays it safe. But instead, he encourages a 10-year-old boy to, you know, play with his life.
Well, hey, America has the best doctor to daredevil ratio in the world. I mean, really.
It's hard to argue. That's probably pretty true.
Not
even
to mention the sponge baths.
The fringe benefit. Lisa rats out Bart because she's concerned for his life.
Even though, to be fair, she would get extra room, more food, more attention. She really has a big vested interest in Bart hurting himself. But for some reason, she loves him.
I know. It comes back down to their relationship. And at this point, we get even a lot more insight into Homer-Bart relationship. And I think this is the part that this episode is plenty funny, but there's not a lot of emotional like center to it. And this is the part that kind of grounds that in that kind of the familiar Simpsons familial emotional core connection, you know, where we feel for the characters and not just, you know, laugh at the situation. Where, you know, Homer first, he just forbids him outright. He says, no, you're not going to do it. And Bart's like, well, you can't wash me all the time. We both know that. I'm eventually going to just go do it and you can't stop me. And, you know, Homer and Marge are both very upset because they do not want Bart doing this because he could legitimately get very hurt or die. And Homer tries a different tact. Something, I don't even know if we've actually seen this from Homer before. Where he just goes straight to emotional plea / begging Bart, please don't do this. I know I can't stop you, but I love you a lot. And please promise me you're not going to do it. And if you don't promise me this, I need to know that I can trust you not to do this when I say something. And I love you and please don't do this, blah, blah, blah. And Bart agrees. We think. And it takes about 5 seconds for Homer to go back downstairs, start talking to Marge about how he thinks he really got through him this time, and we see Bart just leave on by the skate past the window on his way to Springfield Gorge. He approaches the gorge. All the kids are waiting for him. They're anticipating it. He comes up with his daredevil costume on, which is pretty cool.
It's a great costume. Yeah. You know, a tank top with a skull on it and a cape. I mean, that's all you really need to be a daredevil.
Capes work on everything. But, you know, he's going to the top and he's going to, you know, he makes a speech and he's going to about to do it, trying to drum up support from the children and anticipation, build up the drama. And at this point, we start seeing Bart second guessing himself a little bit, just a little. But he's going to do it. I think he's come too far for him not to go through with it. At this point, Homer is going to go up to play catch with Bart. I think he mentioned something about cricket.
He says, I was going to play pickle with him.
Pickle.
Makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? You never heard throwing the ball around called playing pickle?
No.
Oh, you poor deprived boy.
I played catch with my dad. I'd never heard pickle. But anyway, Homer realizes Bart is gone, extremely angry at him, frustrated, drives straight to the gorge, and tackles Bart, literally tackles him off his skateboard while he's about to roll down the incline, where seemingly there's a ready-made ramp to jump the gorge.
It is a geological wonder that is a perfect skateboard ramp.
A natural ramp to jump the Springfield Gorge. He tackles him, stops him, and he makes this impassioned speech about how he's going to do it. He's going to show Bart, like, this is how dumb this is. I'm going to show you so you understand. And they have a really heartfelt conversation. Bart actually, he's like, no, I don't do it. Can't. Yeah. And we actually pulled this clip for you because this is the kind of the payoff for that emotional talk they had earlier. So we're going to play it for you.
Goodbye, son.
Wait, Dad, don't do it. I won't jump anymore. I promise.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son. You know, boy, I don't think I've ever felt as close to you as I do right now. Huh? I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. This is the greatest thrill of my life. I'm king of the world. Woohoo! Woohoo!
So Homer, you know, makes this speech to Bart. Bart says, "No, don't do it, but Dad, I love you. Please don't do it." They hug, but then, of course, the very famous scene. One of the things that was in the first clip show, Homer trying to jump the gorge, almost making it and falling. And what is probably the most brutally violent segment of The Simpsons yet? Cause he's bloody at the end. It's, I would say, the most blood we've seen so far.
He's got lumps all over his body.
Yeah. It's funny, twisted. But it's also really kind of disturbing. See him beat up so bad. Well, of course he falls, hits the rocks, gets airlifted out of the gorge, bumping his head all the way, and then loaded into an ambulance. Ambulance which crashes.
I think Otto must have been driving.
Yeah, because the ambulance drives straight to a tree, and right he falls out the back, right down the canyon again, the gorge. And then a quick cut to him in the same hospital room as Lance Murdoch. It ends with Homer making a remark about, "You think it's hard being a daredevil? Try raising my kids."
It does seem to involve a lot less money and fame and a lot more pain.
A lot more violence and damage, bodily damage. Anything else you want to, anything specific you want to bring up, Matt?
Not really. Overall, a great episode.
Yeah, it's a very solid episode. It has very solid laughs, has that kind of a little emotional content. We get a little bit of every family member. It's not exclusively, you know, the Bart show, so to speak, but we get at least perform. We get a little bit of Marge and Homer, a lot of Homer and Bart, especially. It's a good one.
Not to mention a good dose of Bart and Lisa, which is
that's helpful. That's true as well. Yeah, it says Bart the Daredevil, but it pairs up Bart with multiple characters, and I think the show works best when any of these characters, you see their relationships and how they relate to the situation that we're trying to work through. And we will rank that episode at the end of the show. I already mentioned the post on the news group, which is alt.tv.simpsons. I have been patrolling the old news group. That was launched shortly after the show was launched. The character comic book guy was based on some of the people who posted on it. You can still check this out. It's on Google Groups at alt.tv.simpsons. Aside from the guy who saw the actual monster truck ad during the broadcast of the show, we're also getting reviews of the Simpsons Sing the Blues album. I'd mentioned earlier the Bartman music video, I think, premiered with this episode. And it's generally positive, even though looking back at it now, it seems like a very shameless cash in, which the show itself has kind of alluded to multiple times. But I think it kind of shows the demand for anything Simpsons related at the time, like how crazy Simpsons mania was.
Well, to be honest, it was, you know, one of the first shows that had this real edge to it that was designed for primetime. I mean, you had something like Mary with Children, which was kind of like that, but because it was animated, it filled a void that just wasn't there. And I almost feel like it was the first super fandom. I mean, you had that it was just so mainstream that everyone wanted to show what a Simpsons fan they were.
No, I agree. As I was reading the thing about I read these posts, the news group posts every week, and it really has that feel. Like, this is the first time we see an internet fandom show themselves. The first time we see kind of this explosion of merchandising to such an extent. I mean, lots of shows have had merchandise, but nothing like this. No, with all the dolls and the trading cards, and like it was that was reserved for kids shows. This is the first time an adult show, I think, really crossed that line. And at this point, like every show is like that.
No matter what show you like, there's action figures
or pop vinyls.
Same difference, really.
Yeah, same. They're not action figures. They're not designed. I don't think they're meant to be played with. Even though my little Krusty is dancing right now, so you can. I think with that, we can move on to our listener question of the week. Our listener question for this past week was: what is your favorite holiday episode, non-Halloween, non-Treehouse of Horror? Important to make that distinction. And why? And again, you guys knock it out of the park. I don't get tired of seeing all the answers. You guys do a great job every week. Our listeners are the best. First from Twitter, we have Sean at ShawnyMac15. His answer, I love Lisa. So much love about this episode. Nuanced look at Lisa and even more so at Ralph. I choose you. Hard to go around with that one. Jeremy at Leprecondom.
Great name.
That's a good Twitter handle. Kind of out there, but Trash of the Titans gave us such jewels as Love Day and Spendover.
And not to mention Lord Huggington.
Less talking, more presents. We have Mark at Mark Sherrick. Favorite non-Halloween episode has to be Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire. Can't beat the first. Skip E at Big Flip. I went back and watched Bart vs. Thanksgiving after the podcast. It's damn near perfect. I vote that. Which... Bartfirth, I think, was a good one. I was pleasantly surprised that I forgot how good it was. We have Mike at a Mike Bloom type, summer 4'2", which is 4th of July. Teaches us what happens to a dishwasher when you stuff a firework down it, which, oh my god, that black goo that comes everywhere. That's so good, so gross. Don't put your fireworks in the dishwasher, people. That's bad.
That's happen. Just a little Pogmata Squirm set port's water system. They're not big on filtration.
America's crud bucket.
Scrod basket.
Scrod basket. Yeah, Springfield's crud bucket. We have on Facebook, we have Chris S. I love Lisa, the classic Valentine's Day Ralph episode, the often mentioned in my everyday life, I choose you, and the part where Bart slows down the recording to show the exact point where Ralph's heart breaks. One of my favorites. Yeah. I think that's really clever that they do a VCR freeze frame in the first really freeze frame show to show exactly when Ralph's poor heart. Oh my God.
They're showing us like, hey guys, you should be doing this too. Otherwise you're missing jokes.
Yeah. There's already people in the news group. Like, yeah, they record it on the VCR specifically. They watch it once when it's live, and then they rewatch it and freeze frame all the freeze frame jokes. And finally, we have Richard. Richard A. I would have to say Whacking Day. Not a traditional holiday, but the most spirit of a holiday on The Simpsons. Everyone is full of whacking joy, minus Lisa and Bart, plus the sweet vibrations of Barry White.
Not to mention Homer somehow turns into a ninja for that episode.
I know. That's, yeah. A whacking day.
Our hallowed snake skull cracking day.
We could sing this whole thing. But all you guys have great answers. Matt, what's your answer?
Well, I was beaten to the punch by our listeners once again because I have to go with I Love Lisa. Mainly because I will get the excrement kicked out of me by my fiance if I don't because of her love for Ralph. But to be quite fair, Valentine's Day is a huge part of the episode. It's what spurs the entire thing off. You get a great look at Ralph, a fantastic look at Lisa, and a pretty good look at all the other characters around it. I mean, between choose you and let's be friends and the monster mash at the end, it's just all around a fantastic episode.
Yeah, and this is a first. I have the same answer.
No! I'll love find something else.
No.
We can't have the same answer.
Yes, we can. I Love Lisa is my choice as well. The best episode, the best Ralph, the first and best Ralph episode. After this, he becomes kind of a less serious character. Most of the time, he's just very dumb and silly. And I'm fine with that, but I like him a lot in this one, especially we see him act in that stage production and the Lisa trying to deal with the fact of trying to not be mean to him, but trying to balance all that. Yeah, it's such a good episode. So many good ones coming up. Our next week's listener question is, what is your favorite Springfield landmark? We just saw the Springfield Gorge, but, you know, can't forget the Springfield Tire Yard, Burning Tire Yard.
The Great Springfield Tire Fire?
Tire Fire. Or the Escalator to Nowhere? We see a lot of them.
Popsicle Stick Skyscraper?
We saw a lot of them in Marge versus Monorail. But
the monorail itself?
Yeah, the monorail. The whatever's left of it.
The Arboretum?
But there's many that aren't featured in Marge versus the Monorail. But those are the ones that pop in our heads, of course. But that is our question this week. So you guys, I post this on all our social media. Facebook is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can like us there. You can follow us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod. Oh, you can email us. There we go. I almost forgot. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com and email some paper about how Simpsons landmarks stand apart or some, you know. I am welcoming. Anybody else has any college papers, essays about the Simpsons, I am happy to read them. Please send them if you have them. With that, we will come to the end of our show with the last segment, the segment we end every episode with, and that is Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
No.
No.
It's so hard.
Best Episode Ever is a segment where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode and how good they are in relation to one another. Really, it's just an excuse for us to talk about what makes a good Simpsons episode. This one, Matt just said it. This one's tricky. Where do you think, Matt?
Do you
think it cracks the top three?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Whoa, yes. No, you said it was so hard, but so quick to say top three.
Well, that's the thing is, I'm actually having quite the dilemma between it and Dead Putting Society, because it has a very similar vibe in the whole Bart-Homer relationship and the conflict, but the deep love in there. You've also got the same Bart and Lisa dynamic you do, where Lisa's just trying to teach something to Bart out of, you know, her deep-seated love for him. But you've also got, in Dead Putting Society, you have a lot more allusions. There are a lot more straight-out jokes. So I think I would have to put this one at number three, right after Dead Putting Society, but above Two Cars in Every Garage and Three Eyes in Every Fish.
I think I can agree with that. I can cotton to that.
Are you sure? Do we have to go outside and have some fisticuffs?
No, I think three is a good spot for it. I might put it at four, maybe. Maybe put it at four, but three's, I'm okay with three. I think your Dead Putting Society is definitely, I think I prefer it definitely to it. I'm not sure about Two Cars in Every Garage, but I think this probably does edge it out just because there's more familiar stuff in it, and that's more of a Burns episode and not really the best Burns episode.
So, well, it's also, it seems like this is even more of a lighthearted episode despite all of the imminent threat of death than Two Cars, which is a very serious episode.
Yeah, this is definitely more, you know, a slapstick. The mention of the Three Stooges alone, there you go. It gives you an idea of what we're getting out of this one. But yeah, we put it at number three. I'm good with that. So on Best Episode Ever list, we have Bart the Daredevil, new number three. We still have Bart Gets an F at number one. It's stuck strong. It hasn't even had like a competition yet.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of great episodes coming up, and especially once we get into next season, it's going to be completely cutthroat.
But Homer's Odyssey, still dead last. Although, I have a feeling eventually something will overtake it.
Something will, but man, I...
We'll see. We'll see. Tough. We'll see. You can find this list at our website, simpsonsshow.com. You have all our new episodes are posted there. They are streaming and downloadable. The list for Best Episode Ever is there. You can contact us there. There's links to our RSS feed, our Facebook, and our Twitter, all there. Also, you can donate to the show if you wish. This is a labor of love for both of us. anything you can spare really helps us out. I've also put up a little bit some rewards there where you can, you know, have your answers for the questions featured on the show. You can even have a question of your choosing featured on the show. You can find that at our website. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. You can also check out my comic book podcast. That's Hansel Boys Comics Hour, www.hanselboyscomicshour.com. See everything I get up to online, all that stuff. Matt is not on social media.
That's so true, but there are several trees along the State Road 417 in Orlando that if you braid them into a message, I will see it at some point. So if you need to send me a message, it will only take you a few years worth of painstaking arboretal work.
And you have to pay the tolls on 417, so you probably like go bankrupt
probably
in the process. But I think that'll bring us to a close for this week. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Do 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 do.
Shh. Shh.